Hello. Welcome to this First Thoughts edition of the Once Upon a Time Fan Podcast, presented by Roni's Own Media and Roni'sOwn.com. There are a number of ways that you can stay connected and interact with the show. Our main website address is onceuponatimepodcast.com. Our Twitter name is OUAT Podcast. We are on Facebook at facebook.com/OUAT Podcast. Our email address is feedback@onceuponatimepodcast.com. And our voicemail line phone number is 657-333-0626. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. Your hosts are Jeff and Colleen Roni from Orange County, California. And now, on with the show.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is Jeff Roni, and I'm joined by the lovely, wondrous Colleen Roni.
Yes.
We have just watched The Outsider. It is Sunday night, January 13th, 2013. And it was a pretty good episode.
It was a great episode. There were so many parts that were so awesome. So many parts.
So the last guinea pig to go over the line previously was poor Sneezy.
Which was a pure accident.
Right, but we don't, we haven't heard anything about old Sneezy. We've seen everybody else.
Yeah. Hasn't he kind of been in the background, though?
I have to take another look, but I have not specifically seen him. But Fairy Tail End, he has been there for sure, so.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
All right, so, but now, the guinea pig to go across the line early on the episode was poor Smee, Mr. Smee.
I don't think he's poor Smee, but yeah. No.
So, there was this magical potion that Gold poured on his hat.
That his grandmother knit him.
Yes.
Which I'm knitting right now, by the way.
And pushed over, and the magic potion kept the memory alive.
Yep.
So he did not lose that. I wrote down hat good fortune. So I think that's what he said. It brings me good fortune. So and it was interesting. The questions that Gold asked Smee were questions that you ask someone after a head trauma.
Right, concussion.
Who are you? Who am I? Yeah, that kind of a
thing. Do you
know
where you are? That kind of thing, yeah.
So, sadly, early on in the episode, we did see the graveside ceremony and meeting of...
Funeral of
Archie. And
I loved that the headstone said friend and conscience. I thought that was really kind of classic.
Yeah.
And it was just very sad.
Yes. And Geppetto, I guess, was no longer busy.
Yeah.
And he
was there. We were talking about that just today even. Where has Marco been? Where has he been? We don't know.
And brought his umbrella.
Yeah.
Put it on the headstone.
Yeah.
And
Pongo whined. That was really that was very sad too. And that made me the most sad, just maybe, you know, I think it's because we're dog people, but made me really sad because it's true, pets do miss their owners and they can't communicate what's wrong. You know, and so that it's very sad.
Well, it's nice that Geppetto has a new for a short period of time an owner. So That was nice.
Pongo.
Pongo, yeah. And so I was totally wrong. It's not the first time about my theory about old Archie. So, but he didn't know anything about the...
he didn't.
The dagger, but the dream catcher did not come into play. So, wrong again. Oh, boy. But what's interesting is... Gold used the term talisman for, I believe, as a shawl or what you pour the...
Right, because a talisman, you know, good luck
magical,
charm.
Yeah.
So he was saying that whatever you pour that on, that becomes your talisman, your good luck charm.
So I looked it up. All right. And cannot find it, but Yagway.
Yagway. Mm-hmm.
Yagway is actually, oh, here it is. It is a Chinese term that generally means demon.
Mm-hmm.
And there are malevolent animal spirits or fallen celestial beings.
Oh, interesting. Okay.
That have acquired magical powers through the practice of Taoism.
Okay.
The evil ones are usually referred to as Guai, mm-hmm. literally freak, or Mo, literally demon in Chinese.
Interesting.
Greatest goal is achieving immortality and thus deification. In Journey to the West, the demons seek this mostly by the abduction and consumption of a holy man. In this case, I'm not going to pronounce that, that word. I don't know how. So anyway, what's interesting is Wikipedia is already updated. In the bottom, it says Yagwai in popular culture. Once upon a time featured a Yagwai in the second episode season, episode The Outsider. So it's kind of funny.
It's already
we
there.
Just watched it. So obviously this is someone on the East Coast probably.
Yeah, no doubt.
But yeah, it looked to me like a lion-ish creature with a fire mane.
Right, and lions do play a big part in Chinese culture.
Yep.
That's a big, huge part of Chinese culture, actually. So it's not a surprise that it took the form, that it was in the form with a fiery mane. And, that it fits.
You know, it was very interesting that Belle did a lot for books and reading tonight.
Mm-hmm.
Because for somebody who reads a lot, it was nice to see that her actually use that knowledge for adventure.
Right.
Instead of, you know, a lot of people think about reading as boring or just weird information.
I have to for school or work or whatever. Yeah.
But I mean, that's probably part of their goal is that, you know, these stories and books are actually can aid in adventure. Because if you learn these things, then you will understand it. And that's one of the things that Belle said is, well, I can understand this language.
Right.
Can you, you gruff, adventurous man, And I thought it was nice, go women, go strong women. That's cool. Mulan had a little talk with Belle and said, no one really thought I could be anything, but I had a warrior spirit. And so she was kind of, coaching Belle, say you can do anything you want.
Right.
And I need your help and, you can do this thing. So, it was pro books and, strong women and that was cool. So,
yeah. One of the things I really liked about this episode is the fact that we got to see, Belle, a little more of Belle's backstory and what happened after she left Rumple, but before she got locked up in the tower,
right.
Which we actually saw how that came up to be as well. And then it also gave us how Mulan met Philip.
Yes.
So that's kind of a really cool, dual backstory, sort of, so to speak. Even though it's not a full backstory for Mulan, it was really more of it, a backstory for her, which was really, really cool.
Yeah, as a reminder, I didn't say it at the beginning, but this is our first thoughts. This is just, we've just watched the episode. I've written down some things, but we're just kind of going with our first thoughts mm-hmm. of this episode.
Yeah.
So it's not going to be fully articulated and all that. So just saying that.
Bear with us.
But it was interesting because right at the moment when the beast, once the fire was put out by the water in the town,
mm-hmm.
started writing and she understood that, I said, I wonder if that's Philip. And then I thought a Lady Hawk. The idea that the, a witch or some type of,
sorceress
would cast a spell and make two people who were in love and probably were trying to overtake this person, keep them apart forever. And
mm-hmm.
Lady Hawk, the two in love could never, they would never be human at the same time. Right. So they would change back and forth.
They had different forms that would not have been compatible to begin with.
Right.
And therefore, and they were never in the same form at the same time.
Yep.
So one would always be human, the other would be an animal form. And then
a little different this time, but it was kind of similar. And I just wrote it down. So,
well, it's kind of interesting. I mean, he was cursed. We don't know why he was cursed. Maleficent did that. Oh, to keep him and Aurora apart.
Right.
But I mean, was it just that, I guess? Anyway, but it was interesting that Maleficent chose that particular, I mean, fire-breathing dragon kind of a thing. It kind of makes sense she'd go with a fire-headed lion-looking creature.
Mm-hmm. Well, and what was interesting, too, is that if it wasn't, then Mulan would not have been a part of the story because she was tracking this beast as well.
Exactly.
Because it was attacking her village.
Which was funny because the way he explained it was every time he tried to warn the villagers, they didn't understand him. So was he really attacking? They mistook him, his actions, for attacking. But really, he was just trying to get somebody to understand him is what it sounds like. You know, another misguided beast sounding story. The other thing was, is that it actually fit almost more closely with Beauty and the Beast. Hmm. Belle taming the beast, basically, and seeing there was more to him than what, you know, meets the eye, and basically helping him change back to his form. So it almost was we know that the original intent was that Rumpel is the beast, but this one was closer to the real story of, you know, an actual beast, man being turned into a beast.
Yep.
So,
and it did kind of look like the beast a little bit.
Yeah.
After the fire was put out. So that was really, that was interesting.
Yeah.
For a second there, I thought maybe he's going to have something in his paw, a thorn in his paw, something like that. But then, you know, nope. Went with that.
I thought it was really cool, though, that he was trying to scratch on the ground, mm-hmm. basically. And the only language he knew, and clearly she was the one who understood it, because it was obviously the language that was in that book. So it's kind of interesting. It was a very well-written episode as far as that, you know, that storyline and what they did with that. I really enjoyed that a lot.
So learn your languages and read books.
It pays off. And not only that, but she also, because of the books, guaranteed it was because of the books, she was very intelligent and could figure things out. For example, she knew that he has a head of fire. Okay, let's put the fire out.
Mm-hmm.
That'll probably weaken him. She knew that because I'm sure she read that. She's obviously read, you know, a ton of books. She knew physics well enough to understand when she was in the belly of the ship and she was trying to get the scarf back.
Oh. Yeah, let's not go there yet.
Really? Because we like went way past that part. So,
well,
I'm just saying, to tie it in with the books, how she defeated Hook in the ship, and we won't go into the details right now, we'll talk about it later, that was because of physics. She understood physics, mm-hmm. and that was from books. So study, mm-hmm. stay in school, kids, learn your stuff. It does come in handy, even though you don't think it does.
Yeah, don't go into reality TV, go to school. So,
right.
All right, Belle the Warrior, that was really interesting that she's sitting in a bar reading, and then all of a sudden, you know, Dreamy pops by.
Well, it was the next day from the first conversation he had with her.
Right, but I'm just saying, why don't you go and defeat this beast?
Go and have the adventures. Don't sit here and, you know, let life pass you by.
Mm-hmm.
Go and live life. And that was because of his conversation that he had with Nova.
Right, yeah. And he gave her some fairy dust, of which he was probably had a hand in creating.
Mm-hmm.
And he said, be a hero.
Yep.
So
you never know when it'll come in handy. And I love that she said, you know, I've seen what magic does to people, because she'd seen Rumpelstiltskin. And I think that I love the fact that he said, you've only seen dark magic.
Mm-hmm.
This, the fairies use this, and it's for good. And it was, of course, correct, so.
And then Hook is a reader as well, it appears. So Hook was in the library reading. And, you know, so then they have their little their little altercation there, and she went in the elevator. I thought that elevator was going to go down.
I was really like thinking she was. It was
have her
too.
Stumble upon something.
Well, yeah, because Maleficent's not there anymore.
No, no, no. But I mean, there's probably all kinds of little fun things down there.
Oh, there could be. Yeah, you never know.
But no, it was just. Yeah. It was just that.
I thought for sure she was gonna. He was gonna. It was gonna go down, and he was gonna follow her down there, and then somehow. I didn't know what was going to happen down there, but I figured there might be some, you know, scary thing mm-hmm. happening down there in the basement. So
yeah, there's a pretty famous scene in Terminator 2 when the elevator was closing, and then the Terminator put his mandibles, these malleable metal things in between it and pulled it open.
Yeah, that's not mandibles, sweetie. Mandibles, your jaw.
Oh, then the hand things.
His hands.
And I thought for a second maybe that hook would have gone in between it, but it closed too.
Yeah, I expected was at some point in time he was going to drop his hook inside there and he was going to pry open the door with his hook.
And that's kind of what I was, yep. So, yeah, there's bad cell service in that elevator, and they really need to get some more cell towers or something. But yeah, when Belle said, yeah, it lives in the lake, I said, boy, Belle, you're a lion. You are a lion. And she was.
Yep.
So, went to the mountains, and that's where she met Mulan. And so, okay, here's this.
Wow, bless you.
Yeah. Okay, I got another one. I'm sorry. Bless okay. You. So it was talking about hibernating and that kind of thing in the mountains. And then all of a sudden, this beast came out. And that's how they met.
Yep.
Now, again, Belle is trying to, after Gold goes in and rescues Belle out of the elevator, Hook is gone. And then he just, you know, goes in a rage. I'm going to, you know, kill him. Don't worry about it. You know, but Belle always tries to get him to, no, don't do that. Don't kill this person. Don't kill that person. Don't hurt this person, you know. And, you know, it's interesting because that's her MO is just to not do that.
Well, because like she said at the end, but she said, and I think, I mean, this is kind of the thing. She sees the good in him.
Right.
She knows there's good in him, and she wants to bring that good out. And she knows the only way to do it is to constantly remind him that he needs to not do these evil, horrible things. That's what I think.
Oh, and that's the theme again. We were talking about it in the last episode of seeing the good in Regina,
mm-hmm.
where no one really did. The majority of the people, they remembered the bad stuff she did, but
right.
not the good.
Right,
so,
right, exactly.
All right. So, yeah, we see Gold turns to me into a rat.
Yeah.
And I thought he was going to smoosh him, but he just kind of shooed him off. So, we see somebody turn into... But be turned into a fish and now a rat.
Mm-hmm.
So,
when Regina turned herself into a rat, remember to go to Rumpelstiltskin in the earlier
right,
episode
true.
Of season one.
Yep.
And she took on that form so she could easily get into the jails right. without being spotted.
Now, I need to really kind of look this over again, but I think that's the first time we've ever been that close. And they shot to the rabbit hole door. When we were in Steveston, mm-hmm. they had it there.
Mm-hmm.
They had the tape around it because it was still kind of remnants of the Wraith destroying the town.
Right.
And but no, I don't think I cannot recall that we've ever seen that door that close to the door. So anyway, it was kind of
might have been one episode cool. where we did, yeah. but yeah.
All right, so Belle really was the investigator to this whole thing. So she started to kind of say, okay, he came in a boat because she found this knot in the library.
Right.
Found a book on maritime knots, I guess.
Maritime information and sailing and yeah.
So she found this knot and then said, no, he came in his boat. That's how he got here.
Right.
And so she did the old in Indiana Jones and the Last Crusade where you throw a little dirt there because she heard the boat creaking out by the pier.
Right.
And then saw a bird land on.
She saw a seagull circling overhead and then land on one of the masts. Yeah. And that's when she realized, okay, so it's not what it seems. So it's got to be here really close. There's got to be something here. And that's when she decided to take the sand, and which I thought was funny that the sand was in a box marked sand.
Right. Yeah.
And at first I was like, what is that box? What is sand? What does that mean? And then when she pulled out, I was like, oh, literal actual sand. I didn't know if it was, you know, some other... I didn't know what it was, but anyway.
I'm a California boy. I don't know this, but I've heard that you use sand for snow or ice, right?
Yeah, you would normally it's actually salt. You can use sand, yeah. and that is done, but typically salt because salt will absorb that mm-hmm. and take away the.
Well, that was the first thing I thought of is sand on a pier is maybe for when it freezes or something.
Yeah, I don't know if it's because of freezing, but anyway.
So I think you kind of mentioned, and maybe one of the discussions that we had is that invisible thing was almost like a barrier. And when you go through that barrier, then you see the rest of it. So and that's right. What we saw tonight is once you pass through that, you have to kind of know where the opening is.
Right.
And then once you do that, then you can see what's invisible.
Yeah.
And when I heard Archie call out to Belle, it seemed kind of like he knew who that was. And I thought Cora was him for a second.
Mm.
Like, yeah, come on down, let me out. And then once she got down there, it was like, boom, done. But it was actually...
It was truly Archie.
Yeah, this story arc really got resolved a lot faster than I had anticipated.
Yeah, me too. And I'm glad, though.
Because I thought that we were going to have this for a while.
Well, and that's the thing. I mean, good Lord, who knows what's coming soon, you know, with this being the case. The interesting thing is that, you know, Belle finding the ship, tracking it down, and figuring out based on the knot and looking at the books and blah, blah, blah. It makes her almost a better tracker than Ruby and Emma, which I thought was interesting. I'm like, so what is that going to mean for the future of Belle? I mean, you know, maybe she'll end up being on the police force with Emma.
Well, what's interesting is that I think once Emily was signed on, her role obviously expanded. And so maybe Ruby's role was that before Emily was signed on.
Oh,
once Emily was signed... Anyway, I mean, it could have gone either way, but I think you have a valid point is basically, what do we do with her now? She signed on, you know.
So, she's a very key part of the future of, you know, especially Rumpel. I mean, his whole future, it's now her. And it's, it's going to be interesting. That's going to be an interesting thing to see how that, you know, see what happens with that.
Well, yeah, especially at the end of this episode. Mm-hmm. But the prince and princess doing dishes. That was kind of that's a rare thing, I would think, because normally they would have people doing that.
Well, sure, so. In the palace, but they don't live in a palace. They live in a loft, a tiny little loft, where they're all kind of sharing things, and there's no privacy and. That whole scene with Henry making a phone call. And at first I thought he was trying to call Regina.
Right. Yeah, that's exactly what I thought.
And then when she picked up the extension and it was him calling Archie's voicemail, you know, it made me really sad for poor Henry here, you know, because Archie was his friend. I mean, he was his right. shrink, but at the same time, he was his friend. And it was really, really sad to, you know, see him, you know, that whole thing of, you know, like, and I'll confess this. I think I've told you this. When you used to travel a lot, I would play voicemails when I hadn't heard from you all day.
Wow. Yeah. Okay.
To listen so I could hear your voice.
Cause that's very sweet.
It was comforting. And I would, you know, sleep really close to your pillow so I could smell you and feel like you were there. So I think that's kind
very
of,
sweet.
You know, it's very, yeah. that's the same thing, I think, is that Henry just, you know, the shock of, you know, having gone to his funeral. I mean, that's tough, but,
yeah.
you know, you just, when somebody dies, you really struggle with, they're not gone. No,
yes.
that's not right. So that makes sense. And it was just, it was heartbreaking. It was very sad.
Now I text you rush hour lines.
Yes, you do.
Where's June Tao at?
Okay. No, but then the other thing was, he referred to her as Regina. He didn't say mom, mom. He just said, and Regina.
Yeah, the shift is on. So mm-hmm. Yeah, the mom listening in on the phone call, that was pretty that's almost textbook.
Well, sure. Yeah.
So I'm going to find out what's going on here.
Well, the funny thing is that basically watching the two of them talking and discussing and being domestic and then, you know, watching Henry, it almost felt like they were being his parents, not his grandparents. Mm-hmm. You know what I mean?
Right.
And I think it's because they're so young. That it's just very bizarre to realize that they really are his grandparents. And so I'm sure they don't think that they're grandparents either, and they feel more like his parents. So anyway.
It'd be cool if he would have called Grace though. Hey, you wanna go to the library? Anyway. All right.
He's a little young for that yet, sweetie.
Okay. All right.
Give him a couple years.
Okay. The scratch on the floor. I didn't know what to think about that. They had a shot of a scratch on the floor.
Scratch in the paw prints. And that was from Pongo when he ran in and he was all excited. And I think that was, you know, Mary Margaret looked at that and was thinking to herself, okay, so that's what we're going to deal with the mm-hmm. dog in here. All right. And I'm sure she loves the dog, but at the same time, she's thinking to herself, you know, my nice little floors and everything's going to get kind of torn up with having a dog here. I want Henry to be happy, but there's a dog scratching at my floor. And Emma saw her look at that and she said, you know, how's this going to work with four people and a dog? You know, I mean, it's kind of cramped. And that's when she was like, kind of, you know, I'm really sorry, you know, I'll try and, you know, keep tabs on this better. I think because, I mean, that's why she said, hey, Henry, why don't you go outside and get Pongo cleaned up? Because it was the paw prints the dirty paw prints on the floor that I focused on, not the scratch.
Yeah.
But anyway.
So, yeah, then the discussion about maybe getting another place.
Right. And then I thought it was really funny when they all were like, wait, we're supposed to be living together. What are you talking about? 28 years, we're separated. We want to stay in the same, you know, in the same roof. And I loved how Snow said, yeah, I kind of imagined a bigger roof.
Right.
With turrets. Which I thought was cute.
So, yeah, Belle said, almost a textbook, you know, Luke Skywalker line, I still see the good in him. About old Mr. Gold.
And that was when Hook was in the ship with her, right?
Yeah, and it was very similar. Obviously, the parties on the top of the boat, you've got Gold, you've got his love interest, and you've got Hook, which is very similar to the whole Mila situation, mm-hmm. except, mm-hmm. you know, obviously there's more
right.
people.
Right.
We talked about Philip and Maleficent and... you know, leaving the enemy alive is always kind of an interesting thing. And he did that because Belle convinced him to not kill him.
Right.
And, but we can see obviously the bad side of leaving an enemy alive. So.
Well, and especially one who is dark, so dark. And I mean, the fact that Rumple is the dark one, but there is so much good still in him that's, you know, buried way down deep. and the fact that Hook doesn't seem to have anything good in him, and yet he really does, because he's done some very chivalrous things lately. And as much as I know it's all about revenge, you know, I think there's good in Hook too. There has to be, because he had to have been good at one point in time. I'd love to see his backstory of how he got to be captain on the ship and how he became a pirate. That's what
Lost
I like
Boys and all that, yeah. So the question came up from David is, what if we don't belong here? And I think that's one of those subjects, you know, where do I belong? Where do I fit in? You know, so we're together, but we're together in Storybrooke, and it's not Fairytale Land. And then Snow White said, but where our home is no more. It's not what you thought, you know. And you know, you and I have discussed the idea of home. What is home? Right. Where is home? You know, and home is where the heart is. And I say home is where your shoes are. That's where you are. And but there's always this idea of home, you know, and it's usually in the past, a better time or something like that. So
sure. Well, but what I thought was interesting was a conversation between David and Mary Margaret, where she, you know, he said, look, you know, we need to go back. And she said, no, you don't get it. There's ogres, Cora's in power. Let's go back and fight. And she's like, I'm tired of fighting. Can we please just have a brand new start here? You know, and for a minute there, I was really worried because, you know, she said, maybe we just don't want the same things.
Right.
And that was a little disturbing. I was like, whoa, no.
Yeah.
No. Don't go there.
But, you know, remember we talked about that in the last episode is, you know, sometimes there's this idea, and even with David's toast, here's to not looking for each other for a while. Let's kind of stop. Let's not have any more kind of realm jumping, portal jumping for a while. Let's just kind of wash dishes and take care of a dog, and let's just kind of settle in. And then next we know is like, well, or next we hear, no, let's, maybe you don't belong here. Maybe it's time to go. So,
wow.
Anyway.
Well, and what I was going to ask too, I was thinking about this before they even showed this episode, was I was thinking to myself, okay, so the four of them are living in that tiny little loft. First of all, it's pretty tiny. There's zero privacy. So my question is, why are they not living at David Nolan's house? Where's Catherine? Is she living in that big old house by herself? Why don't they trade with Catherine and live in that house? Because it was good sized and had some bedrooms and had some, I don't know, a normal house. It was a normal house. But then maybe he doesn't want to be there because of the, you know, the stuff that went on with Catherine. I don't know.
So then Archie walks in the door at Mary Margaret's apartment.
Yeah.
And I remembered one line from Psycho is, if that's Norman's mother, then who's buried over at Green Lawn Cemetery?
Right.
So let me rephrase that. If that's Archie, then who's buried over at Storybrooke Cemetery?
Right.
So my first thought was that they were going to get Dr. Frankenstein to bring back whoever that was, and then they would somehow magically figure out who it was that Cora actually killed. Because now the word is out. Cora kidnapped Archie.
Right. Okay.
So, okay.
But, and yes, you're absolutely right. So that's, the word is out. But did you think it was very odd, like I did, that when Belle saw Archie, she didn't like freak out and go, wait, whoa, what happened? I mean, what's going on? I know she was in a hurry looking.
Right.
But then I'm going, don't you think you'd be a little more concerned? And even after, like, she got up on deck and then Rumple, and she didn't, like, go, hey, by the way, Archie, what's going on with that? I mean, nobody's concerned that he is alive. Mm-hmm. And then when he walked in at Emma's, the first things out of their mouth was, Regina didn't do it. Seriously, that's how you celebrate the fact that your friend's alive?
That is probably...
And then where are the questions? Yeah. Why are you not asking these questions immediately? Whoa, what do you mean? Cora's here? You know, I would be panicking if I were Emma. Yeah. Cora is here. How did Cora get here? Mm-hmm. That's what I would be doing. I'd be freaking out. And she didn't seem to be all that concerned with it. Just more like, ooh, Regina didn't know. So we probably should tell her that.
Right.
And by the way, yeah, we're still going to get some crap for it.
Mm-hmm. So initially, I thought they were going to get old Dr. Frankenstein over to bring it back. And it appears from the promo for the next episode that that is not the case. But however, we will be seeing him. So my prediction that we discussed earlier in the afternoon actually was kind of forthcoming.
Yeah.
All right. And then Bell said, I never give up.
Right.
And
the fact that
Gold is still shocked that he, you know, they're still together. So
right, right. Now, what is interesting to me is that he's freaked out because, you know, Belle's going to live, but she's not going to remember who Rumpel is or anything about her life or anything. And that's really sad. And then Rumpel's traumatized because you can't undo it. It can't
right,
be undone.
Right.
Which is interesting because we know that Sneezy's kind of stuck in that same boat, but that's why the dwarves want to mine for the fairy dust.
Right.
Because they want to see if they can figure out a way to reverse it, which I think is really cool, which would now what's Rumpel going to do? Okay. So Rumpel's got two things. He's got two things going on here. He's got the woman he loves who now doesn't know who he is. Now he's got to figure out a way to bring that back, reverse the terrible, terrible thing that Hook did. He's either going to kill Hook, which I don't see happening. I think somehow we're going to keep seeing him. But then he's got a decision to make. Do I stay here and try to make Belle remember who I am? Or do I go find Bay since I can't?
Now let me, I'm going to hurt a lot of Rumbell shippers here. Mm-hmm. Is if I was Gold,
mm-hmm,
and her memory is gone, that means I have a little more time to kind of finish some unfinished business.
Mm-hmm.
A Hook would be on a hook somewhere swinging. That's what I would do, because she's been the only one. Now probably what they'll do is he'll remember what she always said.
Yeah.
And that may stop him.
Well, and here's the thing. I think even if she doesn't remember who he is right now, she's going to say, no, please, please don't hurt him. Please don't hurt him.
Yeah.
That's what I think is going to happen.
Yeah. So,
and that will stop him.
The weapon to protect Belle got into the hands of the one that Gold wanted her protected from, and he shot her and propelled her over the line, and she was not protected, so therefore she looked up and said, who are you?
Who's Belle? No, she said, who's Belle?
Who's Belle? Yeah.
Which is funny because he was holding on to her. And if he's the thing she loves most or prizes most or holds dearest, wouldn't that protect her because he's wearing it? I would think so, but that's just me.
Okay, so
I know it's not going to, but I'm just saying.
Two more things, and then we'll wind it up here. One is my crazy theory, and it's something that we talked about in the car. Is who taught? Who taught Rumpelstiltskin all his stuff?
Right.
Now, we know that the dagger obviously gave him a lot of power.
Right.
But learning all those things that were in the book that he taught Cora
and Regina,
who taught him?
Right.
So I'm thinking there's someone obviously more powerful than him that once he's faced with something like the dwarves had with Sneezy, Gold is not going to sit around and kind of wait and wonder and hope and all this. He is going to call on whoever is more powerful than him to fix it. Then I think we will probably... I think the person that's more powerful than him also wrote the book. We may or may not see that person's face. We may not even see him or her. And but I think there's someone else over him pulling the strings, writing the book, setting this whole thing in play. That's what I think.
And that's possible. I will say this. This is what my predictions are, is that Cora and Hook were pretty scary adversaries at this point in time, right? They're pretty bad enemies to have. However, that was the discussion in the cafe, in the diner, that actually sparked this for me, is the bigger enemy is the rest of the world. Because what are they going to do when they see somebody wielding magic?
Right.
So that's going to be a real interesting thing, because we saw at the very end a total stranger from Pennsylvania just happen. Right. And we asked this before. Why is it that they can get into Storybrooke now, and why didn't they before? Well, we thought it was because of the curse, but again, and the curse was broken, so why weren't there like a ton of people before now?
I don't think that it could be found.
Well, I still think it can't be found, and that's what's really weird. Okay. Is that, you know, this person from Pennsylvania, it was pure accident. I still don't think anybody can find it, because the only reason Emma was even able to find it was because Henry was with her and he knew how to get through there.
Right. So, all right. My question is, how many people can we name, you name, people that are listening, name, that have been in that mobile cell, if you will?
Huh? The you're talking about the jailer's
right.
Carriage?
Mm-hmm.
Well, let's see. Well, we know Rumpelstiltskin, right? That was the first one we saw. Rumpel. Snow has been in it. No, Prince Charming has been
Prince
in it.
Prince Charming and Snow.
And Snow. Oh, mm-hmm. Yeah. And Snow. And now Belle.
Right. I think that's it. I don't think Regina's ever been in that.
I don't recall the time we saw Regina in that.
No, maybe, I'll have to. But anyway, that was one of the questions I had. Because I said, man, there's been a number of people in there. So,
right.
Anyhow, so that's it. Great episode. Very interesting twists. And now we have someone from Pennsylvania. Hopefully they're not part of the Amish Mafia. That would not be good. So,
no, it would not.
Thank you so much for listening, downloading, however you did. We really appreciate you. We send out big love to all of you. And please send your emails, send in your voicemails, and we will have another fun live show this next Saturday, 7 p.m. Pacific time in the evening. So anyway, take care. Have a great week, and we will talk to you soon.
Bye.
See ya. Bye-bye.
Thank you for being a part of this podcast. This is an unofficial podcast dedicated to the ABC TV show Once Upon a Time. This is Wayne Henderson, the voice of the Once Upon a Time fan podcast. And if you want to know more about how my voice acting services might work for you, check out MediaVoiceovers.com. And now, all of us here at Roni's Own Media and MediaVoiceovers.com look forward to sharing the love and enjoyment of the Once Upon a Time TV show next time. Take care.